podcast time again, a Christian program, and we're going to enter into a discussion today about something that's important to everyone, and we want to help you in the most practical way. My name is Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me in the studio is Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and this is maybe an unusual day on Grace Hour because you've got an all-Baltimore team here. That's, you know, both of us are from Baltimore and have lived most of our lives in Baltimore, although Pastor Ronaldo has spent a lot of time in Africa, and he just got back from a missions trip to Africa with a lot of conferences, so he's got some things to say. So we'll be talking about the subject of prayer all week. Maybe you're aware of this, maybe you're not. I'm sad that you might not be aware of this, but used to be that this was a primary, what was it? A primary promotion for the United States of America. May 4th will be the National Day of Prayer. And there's, of course, you can find this out online. NationalDayOfPrayer.org, I think, is the name of the official entity that runs that. There's at 8 o'clock on Thursday evening, there will be a program that you can log into. We here at Greater Grace will be doing, in the Grace Hour, we'll be doing a lot of praying on Thursday. And but what is prayer? We've been tasked, Pastor Ronaldo and myself, we've been tasked today to really tell you, define prayer in all of its forms. And there are a variety of forms. And so I'm going to kick it over to Pastor Ronaldo, let him really start this ball rolling. And we do want to remind you that you could call us. That can happen, 1-800-338-7060. You can call us at that toll-free number. Or you could call 410-483-3700 if you'd like to share your comments that way. Otherwise, if you were on Facebook Live and or YouTube and these other platforms, you can post your comments and we'll see them there. And if they're if the comments are pertinent, we'll use them. If they're not pertinent, well, we're sure you had to say what you had to say, but we might not make reference to them. Probably won't. But if they're pertinent to our discussion about prayer today, then we'll mention them. And but this is the first day of May. A new month has come, and we're going to talk about prayer. And here's Pastor Ronaldo to tell you some things.
Great to be with you. Again, first day of May. Great to be with you. Love this subject. I think of prayer. What is prayer? First of all, it's religious. I would love to tell you that prayer originated with Christianity, but prayer has been a part of man's existence, and it predates Christianity. It even predates Judaism. Prayer goes back to a different word, and I want to use the word communication. Some people looked at prayer as communication within themselves, but then they began to realize that there's life beyond themselves. And how would I communicate with life beyond me? And that's really what prayer is. Prayer is a lot of things. I would start off saying prayer is communication. Don't lose sight of that simple definition. Prayer is communication. It's also a spiritual discipline. No matter what your religion is, there's a certain measure of discipline behind prayer. I'd also like to say that prayer is kind of a quiet revival within my soul. Many times when things in your world has a lot of turbulence, things are not well, you have concerns, you have questions, you have doubts, you go to prayer, you get quiet within yourself. There's a quiet revival in my soul. And often in your prayers, you tend to release yourself emotionally. You tend to express yourself mentally, sometimes verbally, sometimes not verbally. There's definitely at least a monologue, if not a dialogue. And I feel it's one of those major disciplines in the life of a believer that none of us have mastered. There are no masters in prayer. You may find folks that have been praying for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and prayer is a big part of their life. But if you were to interview them or ask them, have you mastered, will you feel you have mastery over prayer? None of them would say yes. Like there are some theologians that feel they have a certain measure of sophistication or accomplishment in the study of the Bible. Like, yes, I know Philippians. Yes, I know Isaiah. No one's going to say, yes, I know prayer. No one's going to be so bold as to say that. It's one of those nagging areas in your life where you know, I could pray more, or I don't really have a lot of peace about the way I pray. which leads me to this thought about prayer. Before we get into the types of prayer, I said prayer is communication.
Yeah.
Now, with all communication, Pastor Steve, I can be familiar with it. I can be familiar with how I talk, who I'm talking to. I can be familiar. Number two, like all communication, you can be mechanical, like in our greetings with people. Hey, how are you? I'm fine. Like sometimes, I notice sometimes in Africa, I'll say hi to someone. They'll say, I'm doing well. And I'll say, I didn't ask you how you're doing. I just said hello. But it's just, you're so mechanical. You assume the next question is, how are you doing? So you can get mechanical in your communication where you say this, hi, John, hi, Jack. Hi, John, hi, Jack. Well, it just becomes mechanical. So if it can be that way in communication, also in prayer. Another one is, since it's communication, you can be distracted. Like if you notice when you talk to someone, you never really have their full attention. They're thinking or doing something else, so they're distracted in listening. Or you're talking to someone and you're distracted while you're talking to them, but you're thinking about something else. Distraction is there in communication. It's also there too in prayer. And finally, I would say a lot of our conversation is small talk. It's idle words in Matthew chapter 12. It's purposeless. And if I can be purposeless in my communication, I can be purposeless in my prayer, because prayer is communication.
That's true. Yeah, I think that's a great way to open, just like thinking about, communication. Like, what is, you said it's important. It's like people have been attempting prayer,
right?
In a sense, since before the Christian movement, but what does it mean? How did Jesus define it? How did Jesus give us a way to talk? And I think you're saying the communication, the familiarity part of it is something that we want to maybe address. Is like, maybe you're thinking about, you don't pray so well and you're wondering like, what's the qualification for being like a prayer warrior? We've heard that word.
A title,
what
yes.
does it mean, like a title, prayer warrior?
Is it a badge?
We think of the War Room movie as the little closet that the woman had. And this is where she went and did her fighting. This is how I fight my battles, on my knees.
Right.
I think that's a song too. And so, so we understand, we understand that prayer has like a religious element to it.
Yes.
It's like people seek a form, they seek a way of posture,
yes.
form and posture. And how does that play into that, how does that play into it? How does that help? How does form and posture help familiarity? Like maybe,
interesting.
Do you think, have you thought about that?
That's a good point. I mean, if I have the form, and you know, so much of religion is form.
Yes.
And the good side of that is structure. Because, you're doing it this way because you're training yourself to think a certain way. And sometimes when you put, like when you get into a driver, you get into a driver's seat to drive a car, you don't have to have your hands at 10 and 2. But you're given this form at 10 and 2, the steering wheel, because this is what this, so that you have control of the wheel. But after you get control of the wheel, you get more flexibility, but you need the form to begin. So I think sometimes we're all taught to close our hands together, bow our heads, close our eyes, all these forms we talk about and use certain vocabulary. You have to address God. And you find this in prayer in different religions.
Yeah.
They're very form heavy. You pray a certain way. You have a certain system about the way you speak. And even sometimes when you catch yourself praying, your introduction and your benediction are almost always identical.
Yeah.
You always have this, like a tagline, sign off. Okay, I'm signing off, God, by the way. Or you're beginning. Oh, it's always like the same kind of form. I think it does feed familiarity.
Yeah.
Because after a certain time, you feel mastery of the form.
That's
right?
True.
Like, I know how to do this. Like, how many of us get into the car and think about how we're going to start a car? We just get in and do it. You're almost on autopilot and you're halfway down the road. So I think with prayer, it loses its innocence in our relationship with God when it gets to be this form. Sometimes I get disgusted with the way I'm so formatic about it. I mean, in the scriptures, you can open the scriptures, you can stumble upon verses, right?
Yes.
I've never read that before. You have this fluidity in the way you study the Bible or you talk about doctrine or God. But then when you get in prayer, all of a sudden you become, you're scared of being reckless or careless. Mm. So you become automated. And like some people that pray, it sounds like a machine. It's like an AI. I mean, I wonder with that AI technology, could you train AI to pray the way people pray? And oh, that was a brilliant prayer. That was by AI. It was an artificial intelligence prayer. Some people, it can get that way. But what is prayer? I think it's one of those things I found with people, even unbelievers. No one's ever rejected me when I've said, can I pray with you?
Mm.
I love to use it in evangelism because it's one of the things about Christianity that's demonstrative, that says, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember I was one time working in a warehouse and I prayed for my food. And a guy who I had gotten to know working there, he looked at me and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. I'm blessing my food. He said, huh? Well, bless mine too. He really did. It was stunning to him that I, in a room full of 40 or 50 guys, that all kind of profanity there, I'm pausing in a work environment to pray for my food. Another guy said, people still do that? So it's like, it's this thing. It's part of the visage of demonstrative religion.
Yeah.
That you pray, sort of wearing a cross, right? We grew up with that.
Yeah.
Especially denominational or serious Orthodox religion, prayer is a huge part of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. I like what you're saying. Like the form can give me a discipline, but at some point, the relationship and the communication needs to be personal.
That's good.
And, we say, like, okay, why are our prayers different than a prayer prayed by, with your face in the dirt, facing a certain direction?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think you know which religion I'm talking about. But we have, Jesus is saying, our Father, he's saying, and the disciples were, saying, teach us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus made a pretty demonstrative thing when you were talking about innocence. I thought of this, clicked into my mind, the innocence. Like Jesus said, unless you become as a little child.
Yes.
Which means that, one of the most childlike things done in all of the Bible happens in John chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done by Jesus's mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the wine is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The party is dead.
Uh-huh.
Who can help us now? Oh, I know the Son of God.
By the way,
I could just go to him and ask if he could help. And, which is, like you said, the innocence of her, like saying, like, woman, my time, but, my time hasn't come. Well, all he could say was no.
Yeah.
It's like that innocent kind of thing. And you say that's the distraction, the familiarity, all of that is we get too big. We get too big in our modes of operation. Maybe we get, like you said, AI.
Yeah,
we become artificially intelligent. We use the form too, too much, and then I would say that I think you would agree with me that the form can help us with distraction, and I don't think it's wrong to set out on a form.
Right.
Like we could say the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and go through it a couple times, but then where would that lead us to?
Right.
And let's talk about that. What should that lead us? What if we enter into a form because we are sort of like we want to for lack of a better word, jumpstart maybe a dead heart.
Okay.
We want to pray.
Right.
Where should we get to at the end of a couple of repetitions?
I would think you kind of said it indirectly. The form really is position.
Yeah.
And position has got to get me to personal.
Mm.
It's kind of like when you have you meet someone for the first time. The interactions form.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is. And we're never going to go anywhere until it gets personal. When it gets personal, I get beyond how are you.
Mm.
We can start talking. But most of us, we're not comfortable being vulnerable enough to be personal. Mm. And there could be reasons why I'm not comfortable being vulnerable with God and communication. I mean, how many people in your life are you vulnerable a lot with communication-wise? Very few. Most of us, arm's length. And then we go to God and try to be personal. We're so busy being positional that we can't be personal. And prayer really is the essence of personal. It's one of the few things you can do by faith that you get the great sense I'm connecting to God.
Mm,
prayer. True. It's like one of those things that you physically do that
someone can look at you and say, this person's talking to God, or you sense in your own life, I'm going to talk to God right now. And the thing I want to get into about this word communication is I've got to be careful that it's not communication for the purpose of logistics. Like, this mm-hmm. is a good point about husbands and wives. A lot of husbands and wives, the majority of their communication is responsibilities. I've got to do this. You've got to mm-hmm. do that. We pay the bill. We get this to the kids' school fees, the lunch. It's a lot of that. But there's not a lot of intimacy in the conversation that's divorced of responsibility.
Yeah.
So sometimes with God, we can do the same thing. We talk to God about responsibilities. Okay, God, can you handle this? We're very detail-oriented. And God on his side, he's completely personal. Because he knows the end from the beginning, because he already has Yahweh Jireh, he already has a provision for everything I'm going to say. He wants me to speak to him about those things. But that's not all he wants to speak about. Like, he wants to speak to me.
Yeah.
And this is where being spirit-led in prayer comes in.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm spirit-led with childlike faith, I approach prayer in intimate communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when we talk about what is prayer, it is intimate communication with the person that knows me best. It's intimate community. It's personal. It's continual. It's transparent. It's practical. It also can be silent.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer can be silent. We make prayer so much vocal, and we make prayer so much monologue, when really the strength of prayer often is quiet dialogue. I'm quiet, and God's saying nothing, and I'm saying nothing, and we're good together in the quietness of it. And that's another spiritual discipline of quietness, isolation, being alone with God and having nothing to say. Thinking about the types of prayer, okay, I'm a person, I want to grow in prayer. First of all, I should know that there's different types of prayer. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks, we learned how to pray watching somebody else.
Yeah.
Most people that pray really didn't study prayer in the Bible. They didn't take a class for prayer.
Mm.
They learned through experience.
Mm.
Watching others do it. It's one of the first lessons you learn in church is you learn prayer. Because there's people around you praying and you're watching them. Okay, they bowed, I bow. They're on their knee, I'm on my knee. They're using this vocabulary. They're praying out loud publicly. I'm going to copy what they copy. Mm. And we learn like that. Or our parents taught us, okay, pray for your food. Say these words. Dun, 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 dun. And then you just started mimicking that. So a lot of that is imitation. And I sense, Pastor Steve, that a lot of our prayer life is more imitation than intimacy.
Hmm. Wow, I would say you're right. Imitation, trying to imitate somebody else.
Especially if they get results.
Yeah,
like, because when you said that title, prayer warrior, I thought about this. Who do we call prayer warriors? We call people that pray a lot as prayer warriors.
That's number one.
And people that we pray and things seem to happen.
Yeah.
That guy, when you pray, heaven shakes. When you pray, you know, all of a sudden car payments drop. So all of a sudden, so when you pray, I want you to pray. Yes. Or, so it's like, okay, so we call prayer warriors guys who pray
mm-hmm.
a lot, publicly, visibly, people that pray and get results. So if I want to be a prayer warrior, I can evaluate myself. 2 Corinthians 10:12, those who compare themselves among themselves, I can start comparing and saying, well, I don't pray as often as Pastor Steve. I see him praying all the time. I wish I could pray like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not what God has. Sometimes mm-hmm. we expect things for people that God doesn't expect for them.
Wow.
And then number two, maybe other people get results, but this side of heaven, I don't even know about it. Like, so-and-so prayed and this happened. Okay, well, who's to say that my prayers don't get results too? So I got to be careful. It's one of those really comparative things that when you see other people praying and they either do it a lot or number two, they pray and they get results, you get insecure. That's why mm-hmm. a lot of folks don't like public prayer.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the spiel. They don't have the vocabulary. They're not eloquent. And Lord, we pray for the concrete outside. They don't have all they're not able to do all of that, or they're scared they're going to do it wrong. Right.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
I said Holy Spirit before I said Jesus Christ. I did it wrong. I didn't recognize God for who he was. I didn't do it right. It's this thing, you know? So it's like, here's a great question. Okay. What is prayer? How do I get comfortable praying? Because here's the thing, if it's uncomfortable, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Why do you think they have so many translations of the Bible? I want to find a translation I'm comfortable with. So maybe King James is a better translation than NIV, but when I read NIV, it sounds more like me, so I'm more comfortable reading it, so I'll read the NIV. Now, whether it's a good translation doesn't matter. If it's comfortable, it's repeatable. If it's not comfortable, it's not repeatable. And maybe we have put so much form and structure into what prayer is, people don't, are not responsive to it because it just looks uncomfortable. Like, okay, all right, prayer is, you know, Martin Luther on his knees, bloody knees, or Thomas. Oh, yeah, that is prayer, but is that what's expected for me? Or I can't pray for half an hour, or I'm not going to pray in front of a microphone, or I can't quote Psalms like that guy. He just quoted Psalm 119. I can't do that. So how do I get comfortable?
That's a good question. You're listening to The Grace Hour. This is our podcast coming to you from Baltimore. Pastor Ronaldo Brown is with me, Pastor Steve Androlonis. If you have some questions or comments, you can post those at Facebook Live or YouTube Live. We can get those questions here. Also, if you'd like to call, you could do that, 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. You could call us and share your thoughts about the subject of prayer. Now we're going through these things, talking about imitation rather than intimacy, which is like, what is that? You don't want to imitate somebody. Now there are varieties of prayer. And I think if you look at the words, you know, some people talk about supplication, intercession, they are the two major ones. And I would say supplication is this. Look at the front of the word and you're talking about supply. My supply cabinets are empty. You got empty cupboards. I would say you ask God for that. It might be energy level. I need energy, Lord. I want to see great, wondrous things out of your law. That's a great prayer to pray. Steal it from the pages of the Bible. It's Psalm 119. Just say, open to me great things out of your word. I want to know your word better. That's a supplication. You're asking for a supply. Intercession is you entering into something different.
Yes.
And it's like, this is the, like you said, there's imitation. There's intimacy. If you are in the body of Christ and you are in a local assembly, and you should be, that's a topic for another day. You should be a part of a community of believers that helping you. And it should be like a nice, diverse group of believers, young, old, all of the colors of our humanity. And we're all one and we're together there. We should all be in something like that. That's a good model for that. But if you're interceding, it means you recognize someone else's need, and I enter in. I like to just look at words that way. I need a supply. I go straight to God. Someone else needs a supply. I enter into helping them gain their supply in intimacy. And those are the two things that are different, I think, about supplication and intercession. Now, this week, we're going to intercede for the United States of America, whatever that means. Like, we have people leading our country who do not pray the way that we understand prayer, but we will pray for them. Intercession, that will happen. But but this intimacy, Hosea 7 says this, that God made not an accusation, but he pointed something out. The people of Israel at that point in Hosea 7 were not crying out to the Lord, but they were wailing on their bed. So, I mean, like, okay, so you're saying imitation, you know, like we know that Jesus, when he came to the Jairus' house and the daughter was dead, wailers are there.
Yes.
Professional wailers who like, hey, we're gonna mourn for you. And they all imitate now, wail like us, because you want to be really sad about your daughter being dead. And Jesus said, get these people out of here. And they can't come into the room where I'm going to do a miracle. You know, it's like, this is like, so imitation, intimacy, and then like crying to the Lord, but not really, but wailing versus crying to the Lord. Like, you know,
Romans 12 talks about we weep when they weep. I like what you said there, that supplication is really about me.
Yes.
It's self-oriented. I am seeking God for me or things that concern me.
Our daily bread.
Yeah.
Our daily bread.
Don't let me lead me not to temptation. That's definitely about me.
Personal.
Yeah. Then you kind of get into supplication, intercession. Now, intercession is interesting because it requires a deeper level of humility than I would say supplication. Most folks pray, they pray, even unbelievers will pray to shout out to God in supplication. Help me. If you help me this one time, I will never again drink. It's supplication. But then intercession requires a lower level of humility because it means that you are trusting God for someone else.
Yeah.
That means I'm gonna go to God on behalf of someone else, which means two things. Number one, I value the person or the thing I'm going on behalf of. Number two, I trust God enough that I can bring this to Him. Mm. You can measure someone's trust in you by what they're willing to bring you.
Yeah.
So that's why I think sometimes when you pray for people, I do this a lot in evangelism. I'll just pray with folks, irrespective of their faith. I just start praying for them, and no one's ever turned me down. Because what I'm saying to you is the most important person in my life, you're valuable enough that I want to bring you and your concerns to the most important thing in my life. So intercession is powerful. In fact, in many churches, they have an official position. They've created a position. Intercessors.
Wow.
Like I met guys on the street. Hey, by the way, hey, you're a pastor. Don't worry. I'm also an intercessor. It's like an official office in the church. I'm an intercessor with name badges and all of that. Of course, they had to form it up and structure it up, but intercessors. And sometimes, I'm going to say the majority of the time, the people you intercess for have no idea you're intercessing for them. No way. This side of heaven, you will not know who is intercessed for you or intercesses for you. I want to go back a little bit.
Go ahead.
When you said about this intimacy, I was thinking of John 17, when Jesus said that they would be one as we are one.
Mm.
How is the Trinity one? When you read in Genesis, one of the few times the mention of the Trinity, they're talking.
Yeah.
There's conversation. Mm-hmm. So part of the oneness and intimacy of the Godhead is communication. And when Jesus says in John 17 that they would be one as we are one, he's inviting us into the conversation. And in leadership, you've learned with people, the number one way to show someone value, significance, and love is to include them. God loves us enough to include us into the conversation. So when you and I pray, we're joining the conversation from Romans 8 of the Holy Spirit and God the Father, of Jesus in Hebrews 7 and God the Father. They're already talking about you. You're joining the conversation. Mm. Prayer is accepting the invitation to join the conversation. Mm. And when you see it like that, it's not like God's in a, like you see in Hollywood, God's on a throne by himself in a quiet, cold room, and you're humbly walking in with on your knees with your head bowed, and you're just kind of like, I hate to disturb you. No, they're actually actively talking about you. The Godhead is actively discussing you. The Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father are actively discussing you. And that's not based in time. That's based in eternity. So they're actively talking about you, and you are joining a conversation that concerns you.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That is, you know, why you immediately you talk about, like, we know that Isaiah got this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 6. Yeah. He's in the presence of God in a turbulent time. The king has died. Isaiah is looking for some answers, and you're right. He's invited into the throne room, and he hears the conversation.
There it is, yeah.
And then he answers the conversation.
Yep.
And you're right. So that's like, you know, this is you know, where we allow ourselves to be entering in. Like, I think of Pastor Love made this point last week when we were talking about the book of Job on a complete book of Jude on a completely another topic. But it says towards the end, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then some have compassion, making a difference. I think those three verses, you could look at that and you're saying, like, one, you identify as being loved, so you're a part of the world of the
yes.
Spirit, Son, and Father. You are beloved. That's why Jesus said, this is your first line, address your Father who is in heaven, and wants his will to be done on earth as it is up there already. But this is the most holy faith, and this is like the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's a place you could take us right now, is like, how significant is praying in the Holy Spirit? You know you're beloved. Mm-hmm. You want to be built up in your most holy faith. Mm-hmm. And if you pray without the Holy Spirit, I think it goes back to our beginning. We're just in a form.
Yeah.
And we're not intimate. We're just imitating. We're just saying words, wow, which can be maybe a prep process. Mm-hmm. Like when you mm-hmm. bake biscuits, you got all your ingredients there and you haven't really entered into the process of making the biscuits. But, yeah, you know, like I'm saying, you
can. Lunch is not far. You're making me hungry.
Yeah, sorry. But I'm saying, like, you know, we say imitation. Yes. We're saying like a form, but we, you know, to talk about the Holy Spirit and that person's, you know, real.
Well, that,
yeah, go ahead.
I want to believe that that's where prayer really gets its life.
Okay.
I mean, I can open my mouth and talk to God without the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and that's prayer, but that's not life. Mm. I can read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, and that might be word, but that's not life. Everything that I do with the Holy Spirit that is not a part of it, it has no spiritual life. Mm-hmm. So if I want my prayers to be personally impactful, there needs to be life in it.
Yeah.
If it was to be, it cannot be spiritually personal. And that's an interesting two words. Something is spiritually personal. It needs the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it can be personal without life. But when it's spiritually personal, so for me, when you pray, no matter how it goes, our first order of operation is always by faith. And secondly, it's always the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us, we don't think about making sure we're spirit-filled before we pray.
Hmm.
We don't make that check. We make the assumption. I actually think that's one of the areas in Christianity that we are the most familiar with. Am I spirit-filled when I talk to people? Mm-hmm. Am I spirit-filled when I talk to God?
Wow.
Am I spirit-filled? I mean, that's the first check. That's why I like, okay, go to your brother alone in Matthew 18. Are you spirit-filled first? Galatians 6, 1 and 2, Ephesians 5, 18. Are you spirit-filled? The Spirit speaks expressly. Are you spirit-filled? The Holy Spirit is crucial to my connection with God because the Holy Spirit ushers me into the conversation. You ever have somebody, you're talking to some people, and they run up and they start talking about what they want to talk about? That's what we are as Christians when we pray without the Holy Spirit. But if the Trinity already has an ongoing conversation and I come into the conversation, I want God to bring me in. Because let's just say that God wants to talk about something else that's not as important to him as what's important to me.
Mm.
So the priority is spiritual priority. And that's a great little test for you when you pray. Okay, God, I know what I want to talk about, but what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind?
Wow.
Like, I make my plans for my day, but then God, I'm available and I'm a malleable to your plans, right? Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. So, okay, God, I know it's great to plan, it's great to pray, but what does God want to plan and pray? Okay, God, because I know if I talk about what you want to talk about, it has the greatest personal impact to me. I'm edified. There's nothing more edifying than thinking with God about what God wants to think about and speaking with God about what God wants to talk about. And if God doesn't want to say anything, am I good with that?
Hmm. Wow.
Am I good with the son? You ever seen an old couple been married for like 50, 60 years? They can sit on the porch and say nothing for hours, and that's a good evening. They got the iced tea and the mason jars. They got the rocking chairs with the quilt on the knees, and the sun's going, and they're just quiet, and you just hear crickets for hours. And they just quietly get up and go to that's prayer. That's communication.
Wow,
that's a good night.
That's a presence. Yeah, the presence of God. I mean, you're in present. Like I think you said, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are recognizing his presence.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, we have a question here that's been posed to us about praying without ceasing. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, you know, I think you're saying, wow, that who prays all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that was Paul like giving some instructions to people who were under severe persecution, the Thessalonians. Mm-hmm. They had a severe time. And he's just mm-hmm. saying, you know, whenever you can remember to give your moment to God,
yeah.
just remember that. I think don't say, you know, we're trying to make it clear that the imitation part of it and the form part of it, like, well, I didn't pray without ceasing. That's why I didn't get what I want.
Yeah.
You know, don't buy that lie. Let the Holy Spirit groans things. It says that. It says the Holy Spirit groans things that we can't even, like you say, if you're entering into the Holy Spirit can form the prayer for you,
yes,
or tell God things that you really need, you know, yes, and that's why that relationship with the Holy Spirit is like so important. Like we have like a couple of comments here about like the fellowship with God is really the secret. Like you said, the porch,
mm-hmm,
the porch there. That's like, you know, if you are sitting in the porch, and that could speak like people, we, you know, what's meditation? That's part of it. You're just thinking together.
Yes.
And I think great meditation is we don't know if you're really meditating, maybe you really don't know where prayer begins and ends. It's like you're speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and,
yes,
spiritual songs. You're enjoying the presence of God, and that's like you're thinking about, you're with God, you're thinking about how great He is, and then, mm-hmm, all of a sudden, well, Lord, I really would like to pray for my son right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you've crossed from thinking, yep, in the presence of God to asking God for something, but it's just like you're sitting on the porch, like, you know, and I'm like, okay, dear, your glass is empty. Would you like me to go get you another iced tea? Do you need another iced tea?
Yeah,
it's like, that's the conversation. Yeah. Or I don't even say it. I just go and get the glass, and I come back with the iced tea.
We've been married 50 years.
I saw that you were.
Fill the glass.
I've been married 40, so
fill the glass.
I know.
After 40 years, you got to ask me to fill the glass. Fill the glass.
Yeah, right. So I'm just saying, like, that's, you know, meditation, I think, is like, it's just, we are just thinking about what we already know about God.
Yeah.
And prayer is like asking Him and talking to Him about things that we may not know.
Yeah. I like where you put the lines blurred, because they are blurred. That word muse. Prayer and meditation is both musing.
Yeah.
And normally what happens is you could be praying with God and God brings into your mind something to meditate about. Or you could be meditating about something and it leads into prayer. So one doesn't preclude the other, but they kind of bleed into both. I think sometimes, okay, I'm going to meditate. Well, first of all, they both require the Holy Spirit. They both require interaction with God. And they both are personal, meditation and prayer. So often you say, well, I haven't prayed today. Maybe you've been meditating and that's been prayer. You didn't even know it. I think some folks, what did we say the key word in the beginning was? Communication.
Yeah.
Prayer is the best direct communication a believer has, demonstratively speaking. Even Bible study. Okay, you study the Bible. You're studying the words of God. You think about what God has said. You pray about what God has said. Prayer has got to be part of it. Like we teach sometimes in hermeneutics that when you study the Bible, you should pray before you study.
Mm.
But we also teach this. You should pray after you study. Don't assume you got it because you've studied it. I'll say, okay, God, I know this. You've said a lot to me in my study. There's more you want to say. Help me to think through and to be receptive. God, let these sayings sink down in Matthew 5 and give birth to rhemas in my life and my thinking.
Wow. So that's so good.
You bookend it on both ends.
Rhemas.
Most of the time, we start with logos, and proper hermeneutics starts logos, ends rhema.
Mm.
It's got to end there. Otherwise, it's not practical. It's not useful. It's just philosophy and theology. I need something on the other side.
Yeah, I need that spirit touch, right?
That's it.
The Logos goes to Rhema, I think, because of the Spirit's touch.
The only way
I think
it gets there.
We had a question here about calling on God while He may be found. I want to say this practically. There's sometimes rhetorical statements in the Bible, which are just statements like, call upon the Lord while He may be found. You should continue the statement, and He can always be found if you're crying to Him from the heart.
Mm.
It's not like this is a special category of prayer. It's like, well, when can God be found? Always, ever, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Just call upon Him. So sometimes this is a language, and we're just talking about the way the scripture is written. Call upon the Lord while He may be found. You think you're in a moment when He can't be found, but the truth is He can be found right now. You can pray for Him. That's part of praying without ceasing. 5 minutes to go today in our program. Grace Hour podcast, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, Pastor Steve Andrelone is here talking about prayer. So let's think about, you talked about the scripture. You're mm-hmm. reading the Bible, yep. and you're saying, like, you know, I think that's so important. Like just the like you're saying, going from the pages, the letters on the pages, into something in my heart, into something that becomes like, I'm moved.
Yeah.
Maybe is the best word. Maybe there's another word, but I'm moved. Now it's mm-hmm. something that's mm-hmm. that's operational. Pastor Stevens, mm-hmm. Carl Stevens called it governmental doctrine. Yeah. I study words. Words become a part of who I am, mm-hmm. but now they are governing my decisions and everything.
Yeah. Prayer has a way to, I think prayer is one of the ways that it really connects the scripture that I've read with the thoughts that I think. Which is, that's why sometimes we tell folks, when you pray, pray with an open Bible. It will change the way you read your Bible.
There you are.
It'll change the way you study your Bible. And then when you study, also bring in prayer into your exegesis. All the levels of Bible study, from just reading it to studying it to digging, you're prayerful and you're meditative. They're all kind of married together, actually. This is all part of the same operation of spiritual engagement with God. Mm. The Word, wow. the Spirit, meditation, prayer. This is a woman of God or a man of God that's serious about, they're in a relationship with God. And this is part of the relationship with God. If you're someone who meditates and you study and you go to church and you read your Bible and prayer is not a part of your life, you are missing a key component of spiritual synergy. There's this key component, prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer. What did John Wesley say with his Holy Rollers Club? He said, if you cannot commit 5 hours to prayer and Bible study, you should do something else. So something's undone. Something's mm-hmm. undone. I mean, if you pray, if you meditate, but you don't pray, what is your meditation? If you go to church, but you don't pray, okay, there's an outward action, but there's not an inward submission. Part of prayer is there's an inward submission wow. to God. If you pray, you know, and you read your, but you don't read, you read your Bible, but you don't pray. How do you connect with what you're reading? Otherwise, it becomes your own discernment. Because I think when you pray, when you read and you pray, the Holy Spirit gives you discernment in what you're reading. Mm. And you begin to grow in that. And I like what you said about praying without ceasing. Because when you hear that thought in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you're like, I can't pray like that. Pastor, I can't. Let me just encourage you today. Practice talking to God.
There you go.
Copy that from there's five key things you get out of the prayer life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. The first one is his prayers where they were brief.
Yeah.
Don't get so time conscious. Be long, be brief, but don't be conscious. Be consistent. Number two, they were consistent. Number three, they were specific. Okay. Number four, they were personal. Okay. They were very personal. And then number five, they were systematic. He systematically prayed. He prayed with people systematically. He prayed alone systematically. It was part of his lifestyle. As much as Christ went to the synagogue in Luke chapter 4 is as much as he prayed. So he had the demonstrative feet movement, but he also had the prayer movement. And it's an area that we pray that we grow in communication. I mean, when you get a relationship with someone, Pastor Steve, the longer you know them, the easier it is to talk to them. And the more often you talk to them, and the more intimate you are when you talk to them. And I think with a lot of us, we're not comfortable talking to God because we don't practice talking to God.
That's true. And I think you're saying Jesus, just to conclude here, because we got a minute and a half here, but I think when you say Jesus, when Jesus was really, you know, he's nailed to the cross. He's mm-hmm. praying. He's praying. His prayers were scriptural. Mm-hmm. You know, he asked God why he was forsaken. And then at the very end, he commits his spirit to the Lord.
Yeah.
And we know that those are scriptural prayers. So don't be afraid if you're blocked or something like that. Just go to the scriptures and just start asking the Holy Spirit to make something alive to you. Mm. Well, I think we've started well today. I think we've done a lot of plowing the road for whoever comes after us and talking about prayer this week. You know, how should should we pray? That seems to be the topic on the agenda for tomorrow on the Grace Hour. And we want you, how should we pray? And, we pray like a child. We pray when our cupboards are empty, when we're feeling down, all that, open the Bible, and let God speak to you from the Bible and think about that. We want to thank all of you for watching our program today. Thanks, Pastor Ronaldo. Great to have you back in town. And, there's more going on here at Greater Grace today. There'll be a Missions Monday. You can look at that later on today and other things happening. But the Grace Hour will be back on tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time in America. We hope that you can join us then. Have a great day, everyone.
God bless you.